Hi, I'm David Kaplan, and you're listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Enjoy the show. It's a Chevy Power Play. Now get over $8,600 total savings on a 2018 Chevy Silverado 1500 Crew Cab LT, plus an additional $2,500 in competitive owner cash. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details and score.
Game one of the huge Cubs-Brewers two-game series was over in the first inning. Yeah, Jose Quintana gets pounded early and often. The Cubs' NL Central lead is cut to two. We will discuss. And thanks to his agent and Mr. Pace, Roquan Smith is finally a Bear. The first-round pick practiced for the first time today. Interesting stuff over there today. Will he be ready for week one of the regular season? We got that, and is there more pressure on him because of his 29-day holdout? Sports Talk Live is here. It's on the air. Here we go. All right, welcome to Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. I'm Chuck Arfine, in for the Capman today. Let's meet the panel for today's show. We got a good one from the Associated Press. He is Jay Cowen, ESPN's outstanding Bears insider. Bears insider.
Please
Nick
come
Friedel.
Back, JD. Please.
We'll be talking Bears as well as Bulls a little bit later on, and play-by-play man Jordan Bernfield. We begin with the Cubs. Oof, rough day for Jose Quintana, the man Cap calls a Buick. Gave up five runs in five innings. Guys, he was a Cadillac with the White Sox. What has happened to Jose Quintana since he's joined the Cubs?
Chuck, what do you think has happened? Because I know he hasn't looked good at Wrigley or otherwise, mostly in that Cubs uniform. But from where he was on the south side to where he is now, what do you think the biggest problem is?
ERA has gone up. Walks have gone up. Consistency is not there. I mean, I'm not there. Pitching coaches? I don't know. I can't put a finger on it. I don't know. When you go from the American League to the National League, your ERA should go down. You're facing a pitcher as opposed to a designated hitter. I cannot explain what's going on with Jose Quintana.
It's a consistency issue, and it's a command issue, I think. Not just the walks, but inside of the pitches he's throwing are too fat, too much of the strike zone, and he's getting killed for it. He got killed for it today. He's been getting killed for it on and off pretty much since he joined the Cubs.
You know what? Don Cooper gets a bad rap because people, Sox fans, say, what has Don Cooper ever done for this guy, that guy? Well, look what he did for Jose Quintana, and now Jose Quintana is not with Don Cooper anymore, and what's going on with him and the Cubs?
I mean, that might be it. I don't know if that's it. What I will say is that the numbers last year, if you look at the splits, I mean, when he got traded to the Cubs, his numbers did get better the rest of 2017, and even this year at the beginning of the year, he was pitching reasonably well. It wasn't the sexiest in terms of every start wasn't dominant and he wasn't striking out 10 every game. But the numbers were decent. Recently, though, he has really come back to earth. Even that start against the Royals, you know, he gave up two runs through six, but then gives up the three-run homer. So, you know, I think right now the problem for Jose Quintana is always going to be, and it's unfair to him, but it's always going to be that he was traded for the top two prospects from the Cubs, an inner city trade where everyone has the microscope on him. And I think that what they got, the Cubs, was a cost-controlled, good starting major league pitcher. The problem is, if he's not incredible every game, it's, oh, he stinks. Yeah. Jimenez hit another home run in the minors. What are they? So I just feel like the reality versus the perception with Quintana has always been completely different. But lately, it's a problem.
It's going to get worse when Jimenez is up here and Cease is up here, and they'll be facing off against.
I'll be honest with you. I was thinking about this today. I was playing along a little bit in my head. I mean, obviously, they're going to face a decision on Cole Hamels. Do they pick up that option? It certainly looks like they're going to want to. I mean, why wouldn't they, the way he pitched? So then you have six starters, okay? You know, you can't ditch Chatwood's contract. You can't ditch Darvish's contract. I'm wondering if you won't see Jose Quintana in a Cubs uniform next year. Because I don't see any other options for them, to be honest with you.
I got to think about that one.
Would they really do that?
I don't see them doing
that. Not the value of the contract.
Then what do you do? I mean, you have seven starters, I guess, if you count Montgomery. What do you do then?
Well, I think that that's a good problem to have that would sort itself out, I think, over the course of between now and next season, given what they have. I mean, yes, I agree that they could end up with a lot of different starters, but I think that right now, when you look at the Cubs this year, when we talk about the injuries that they're dealing with right now, they're still in first place despite all those things. The underlying other issue, as we've talked about a lot, is that they've got starting pitchers that on paper should be better than they've been. I mean, and Jose Quintana is one of them. Right, Kyle Hendricks is another.
I want to bring up Lester. So you look at what he's done his last, I think, eight starts. His ERA is way up there. And now you're thinking, oh, what's wrong with Lester? But then you look, this has been his worst month, always.
Yeah.
And then he turns it around. I got the number here somewhere. September and October in his career, he's 37-15 with an ERA of 3. So I'd like to think he's going to turn it around. But at some point, you reach the age where – maybe he won't be able to do it. Are you guys confident in John Lester being able to turn it around and be the Lester you expect him to be come September and October?
Not at the moment, Chuck.
Okay.
If it's me and I'm the Cubs, I DL him for about 10 days.
Oh, the Phantom DL.
The Phantom DL. Let him regroup, take a deep breath, and get out there again and see what happens. It just seems like he's a little out of gas at the moment. And I understand.
Hold on a second. I got to pause. Look at this poll question right now. Which pitcher do you have more confidence in heading to the stretch run?
Oh, yikes.
98% Yu Darvish over Quintana?
But that's Cap and Mindy again, just hammering away.
This is also
the Ankin Law. By the way, I got to say, it's the Ankin Law Sports Talk.
This is also massive recency bias, considering that Quintana just got pounded 3 hours ago.
Right.
I mean, I don't know how long that's been up for, but I hope not long. I mean, all of a sudden, Yu Darvish is the man.
No.
We love Yu Darvish.
We know that's not true.
I interrupted you. Sorry. What were you saying?
No, that if you're the Cubs and you have to have these games, I understand that, but Lester seems like he just needs a little bit of a break. So allow him to get that break. Plug Montgomery in there. You know what you're getting most times when he takes the hill. And just hope for the best moving forward, because I think Lester still has the September, October numbers within him. He just looks like he's a little tired.
Yeah, you know, I have noticed that every year, like around the All-Star break, post-All-Star break, you do see this sort of thing with Lester. This seems like a little bit more sustained than maybe past years. I think past years he's had like a blip of an outing, a one-out, eight-run thing, like against Pittsburgh at the break, around the break last year. This one seems a little different. Same problem with Quintana, I think. You know, consistency in the zone, where his pitches are going, location, command, a lot of the same problems Quintana's had, you know, all year, basically.
Quintana's up to 15%.
Oh,
just so you know,
he's rallying
11.
But you know, it's the thing with Lester too is that, you know, there were a lot of peripherals that were concerning earlier in the year, even when he was putting up fantastic traditional numbers. So a lot of people are going, aha, I was right. It was supposed to happen. I think the one thing with John Lester is because of his pedigree, I think that matters. And even though lately he is not pitching well, obviously, in a playoff game, I have to say, I would like my chances with John Lester.
Game one.
Give me John Lester in any playoff game, because that guy gets it done when it matters. And right now, he's obviously not pitching well. And if you, and I know there's probably a lot of Cubs fans that are out there going, you know, that they wouldn't want him in game one or game. I'm telling you right now, if he can get himself back on track, which the numbers would suggest he would, he's probably starting game one of a playoff series.
Not sure it would have made a difference today, considering Quintana struggled in the first inning, but can we question Joe Maddon for a second here? Bodie not in the lineup?
You know, he couldn't hit an eight-run homer today, my friends.
I mean, was he saving him again for the ninth inning to hit a walk-off granny? I mean, he was the story. Don't you want to, like, hey, he's hot. Put him in. Run him out there.
Chuck,
next game.
I feel like I'm in a very small minority, a couple years removed from the World Series, but I still trust in everything Maddon does.
Okay.
I know he's a little zany and he's got his quirks. Fine. He's an unbelievable manager. And whatever he wants to do, the fact that he's gotten him to this point, I'm not going to second guess him over time, because for the most part, over these last few years, when he's pressed the buttons, they're usually the right buttons to hit. It would make sense after what happened the other night, but Maddon on the whole has been so very good, and I think that has gotten lost in the last year and a half because so many people are still so hung up with how he handled game seven.
Yeah, part of the reason why Bodie's had so much success is Maddon is picking and choosing the right spot to use him. So it's hard to knock him for sitting him even after that home run the other day.
Yeah, because I think what happens, these managers are put in the position of not reacting to the game that just happened and not managing in the past. You almost have to – it's not managing in the, for the future, but in a way it is. Like, what's going to give our team the best chance to win today, forgetting what happened in the last game?
The other thing is, I think Maddon does two things every day with the lineup. He's looking at rest for the long haul, because like, he's a big believer in the marathon, not a sprint thing. And two, I think they're always looking at matchups. I mean, today's baseball is like everything is numbers driven, especially with, you know, these teams that really embrace the sabermetrics. And I'm sure that there was some number that said if they put LaStella in there against Chacin, I mean, I didn't look, but I'm guessing that's what that had to be.
I agree with this 99% of the time. It's just that when David Bodie hits a grand slam.
He's comes here
in the ninth inning to win a game. Hey, I may want to make an adjustment the next game and put him in there. That's the only thing I'm saying here. Let's get the Yu Darvish simulated game here this afternoon before the game. I think we have some. Oh, we'll show him there first. What do you guys think? Cubs fan Nick Friedell, when you see Yu Darvish throwing the simulated game at Wrigley.
Just get to South Bend or wherever you got to go to make that rehab start, and let's just see what you got, Yu, okay? I mean,
You look worn out.
I am so tired. well, part of that was because I was at Halas for 3 hours. But
we'll get to that, too.
Chuck, I am so sick of watching Darvish. I'm having, like, PTSD going back to watching Wood and Pryor in these sim games.
Oh, my God.
Oh, here we go again.
Towel drill.
Get him out there. See what he can do, and if he can't do anything, at least know before the postseason so you can stop worrying about it.
You know, I think he'll be fine, but, like, the Yu Darvish thing can't happen in Chicago Cubs.
I think I was on the show with you, maybe you a couple months ago, and nothing's changed. Yeah. I mean, where this season goes with the Cubs will depend on what they can get out of Yu Darvish.
I think he's the X factor for the whole season.
It was that way in July. It's been that way for months now. If they can get him going, get him to the point where he could start a playoff game for them, they will be in really good shape.
Although
they're in trouble.
Except the Cole Hamels thing gives them a little bit of a backup.
But still, with Lester, Quintana, and Hendricks the way they are, I mean, they're going to need Darvish at some point.
I mean, I do think it's a legitimate point, though, because if they had their whole team healthy, they are, they would be the best team in the National League by a pretty wide margin. Because
more than the Dodgers.
Yes, because I mean, Jay just said it before. They would have seven viable starters.
Well, you can only start five or even four.
I get it, but Joe has shown that they would start six sometimes, especially down the stretch.
I'm talking about the playoffs.
No, yeah. But I'm just saying that it would give them so many options. They're two games up, despite not having their closer, the MVP from 2 years ago, and their $121 million pitcher who's given them nothing.
Yeah.
So if he came back and was something like last year, Yu Darvish, at least, that's a huge boost.
I just call it depth. They have depth, and so many teams don't have that. And if the injuries happen, they're not going to win the division.
Give them credit. I mean, they have played this pretty perfectly up to this point. I mean, you know, they've gone the slow route with some of these injuries. And I think, you know, they're looking at this National League landscape, and they're saying, we just have to have our guys healthy at the very end. Because the National League is full of a bunch of maybes, couldas, who knows, I have no ideas. You know, the American League has three or four teams that could probably win the National League. So, you know, they're playing this the way I think anybody would want them to play it.
Breaking news, Jose Quintana up to 48%. So we're about dead even.
As soon as people saw the Darvish footage, he started to close the gap a little bit.
This is a great poll question because I don't even know what I would put. I don't even know how I would vote that. I mean, we can do a half-hour show just on this poll question. We have sound on Yu Darvish. Should we play that, Tom Cooper? What do you think? Let's hear about, I think we hear from somebody, Theo and Joe on Darvish. Here we go.
I think he wants it. You know, the guys who are around him every day feel that. You know, he's really eager to get out there and compete. Even in the sim game today, you know, when Vic had a good swing on his fastball, he came back and threw the next one a little bit harder and was mixing all his pitches. He's going about his business like someone is on a mission to come back and help this team.
Let's just take it one step at a time. I thought, you know, that I was watching that third inning from behind, and really good stuff. I thought breaking ball, great spin on the breaking stuff, particularly. He was totally involved. He was absolutely competing out there. That's the word I use, because he got upset with himself when he spiked one fastball, which I kind of liked. So totally engaged, looked really good, was not holding back. I talked to the hitters afterwards. Victor had some good hacks on him today too, but him and Bodie comparing notes, so we were all very impressed.
All right, Nick, can I ask you seven more questions about Yu Darvish? How about six?
Chuck, look, I agree with what we all said. If he doesn't show up, they can't get to where they want to go.
Right.
He's got to give them something, and if he doesn't, as good as they've been this year, they cannot reasonably expect to go and win another World Series.
I agree with you. All right, let's talk about the Cardinals. They won six in a row, walked off against the Nationals. Who is the team you're most concerned about in the division? Is it the Brewers? Is it the Pirates? There, I don't know what the Pirates are going to do, or the Cardinals.
I still think it's the Brewers, but the Cardinals, you mentioned they've won six in a row. Since they sort of revamped their bullpen, it has been way better.
Yeah.
I will say, though, if you're a Nationals fan,
oh,
they get walked off on last night by the Cardinals after the Bodie thing. I mean, we've been there, Nick. So,
yes.
I just feel bad for them, honestly. But, I mean, I still think that you can never put the Cardinals away because we've seen it how many times. And, like, the Cardinals always look like a team. They're like, they're okay. And then all of a sudden it's mid-September and they're two games back. So I think it's still the Brewers, but you can't put the Cardinals away.
The Nationals,
that is
done.
Unbelievable.
They're over. I don't know how you recover from this week. I know it's August. It's a week. Oh, by the way, they put Mattson on the DL. I was like, no, they didn't put Mattson on the DL. I think Boney put it.
The funny thing about Mattson, it tells you a little bit about the situation there is, you know, Boney hits the home run off him. Monday they come and say, well, Madsen's dealing with some back issues, but he's going to pitch through it. Tuesday they put him on the DL. So it tells you a little bit about maybe a little bit of the dysfunction and some of the stuff people have talked about behind the scenes there. You know, I feel bad for Dave Martinez. Gets his first managerial gig, and it's just not really working there right now. That franchise is in a bad way because it's hard to imagine. I won't say it's hard to imagine, but they're facing the free agency of Bryce Harper over the winter, and people are going to be backing up Brinks trucks for them, and they've got to make some really hard decisions.
I'm looking ahead to October and what might come out of that clubhouse, unnamed sources.
It's already coming out.
I know. It is. But then that might, I think it's going to accelerate and it's going to affect Bryce Harper's free agency.
I mean, they have so much talent. I mean, you watch that series over there.
And they're minor leagues. They bring these guys up, like Robles.
Juan Soto is unbelievable. Yeah. And they should be incredible.
Yeah.
I can't figure out why they're so good.
Strasburg's been out, and that's a huge deal for them. I mean, it's a big deal. Some of their guys, I think some of their pitching, you know, Eric Fetty was once a really good prospect, has not been able to
Herrera's
stay healthy.
Hurt.
You know, I don't think Tanner Roark has been maybe kind of what they thought he would be. So they've had some of the same issues that a lot of teams have. But, I mean, they should have been able to overcome it, and they just haven't.
Yeah. All right, more on the Cubs. I'll get to the White Sox coming up later in the show. The Bears' first-round pick finally takes part in his first practice. Roquan Smith takes the field at Halas Hall. So will he be ready to make his debut on that Sunday night at Lambeau? And is there more pressure on how he will do because he held out? We're going to ask Nick Friedel next on STL.
Crank up the heat and turn on STL. On NBC Sports Chicago, host David Kaplan brings his no-nonsense opinion to the table in a half hour on the topics that are trending with our teams.
We got the most mismanaged basketball team in the history of the world.
Which franchise made the gutsiest draft day move?
I think Pac wanted to do this, and he finally got his way.
Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. Weeknights at 6 on NBC Sports Chicago.
All right, football is back. It's time to draft your Yahoo Fantasy Football team. There's no better day than National Draft Day, August 26th, to get the league together. Sign up now and get your draft on at yahoo.com/fantasyfootball. Our postcards from camp is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. Now they are postmarked from Lake Forest. Training camp switches to Halas Hall, and look who was there today. First-round pick Roquan Smith finally took part in practice after his 29-day holdout. So it took so long to get the deal done. According to Roquan, two people were the main reason why. Listen in.
That's between my agents and Mr. Page. So that was something they had to deal with, and we got it all figured out. I was just, you know, kept my faith in my agent and Mr. Pace. I was confident just knowing him working, doing what I can do, and that's why I hired my agent and Mr. Pace. So for them, those guys to figure that out. I left that up to my agent and Mr. Pace. They figured it out, so it's great that we have it done now. It's just the business side of things, and I just left it up for my agent and Mr. Pace to handle. That's the contract stuff for my agent and Mr. Pace.
But you had to be curious about that, right?
That's for my agent and Mr. Pace. Well, that was just for my agent and Mr. Pace. They figured it out.
I think you said it 9 times.
Wow.
So you were there, Nick. You're still laughing.
That's some riveting stuff right there. I mean, I'm sitting there in the moment. I've got my camera running. I'm like, man, he's saying that a lot. And I get back, and our pal John Greenberg from The Athletic goes, he said it 9 times. But the good news is at least we know he can take coaching. Yeah. Because that was the scripted answer that his agent had talked him through. And he wanted to mention Mr. Pace a few times. So good for Roquan.
Yeah. But
guys, we've all sat through a lot of boring introductory press conferences. Roquan set a new bar today. Yeah. The bar is so high for sticking to the message and repeating what your agents told you to. Good for him on sticking to that. Now I just hope he can play.
Other thoughts about him? Well, first off, let's get to this. What was resolved? How was this resolved? This whole thing. It's a little confusing to
tell us, Nick. Tell us about the contract language.
Yeah, right.
This used to be.
Can you break this down line by line? Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, holdouts used to be about money. I get that. Now holdouts are about rules and money, and rules you don't even understand half the time. So what's going on?
Chuck, from what I can gather in my vast football knowledge, I think the key here was that they were setting Roquan up for a nice future, but they were setting CA was themselves up for dealing with prospects down the line. And the saddest part for a guy like Roquan Smith is I'm sure he wants to play football, but he got caught in the business side of the dynamic here. And when you're trying to get back potentially guaranteed money if you're the Bears, maybe there was some give back there in the representatives. They found a middle ground, but it was all about the future for another prospect. It sounds like not so much Roquan Smith's future right now in the short term for the Bears.
If I'm Roquan, I'm looking for a new agent. Next year.
Well, I think
that's just me.
He sounds like he's got a great relationship with Mr. Pace now.
So. He got caught in the web. He's like, give this kid a break. Get him in there.
Well, I mean,
and his agent's thinking about his future clients.
Right.
Well, does anybody have
I wouldn't like that.
Does anybody, I understand what you're saying, but does anybody have a problem with the Bears? Okay, so the Bears, you draft a middle linebacker. And you want to start taking away some of his guaranteed money for some of these NFL rules. Do you really want him thinking, well, I got to lay this guy out. I don't want to get penalized, and I don't want to lose any money. You know what I mean? I mean, it's just, you know, you got to let your players play. And the idea that they were trying to recoup some of his guaranteed money if he gets penalized within the course of the game for certain things seems obscene to me. I mean, especially for that position. I mean, you want him, a Green Bay offensive lineman picks a fight with him. Do you want him to walk away sheepishly into the huddle? I mean, you know, you've got to give these guys room to play. I mean, it just seems sort of absurd, the whole thing.
It feels like the Bears kind of penalized him before he even took the field.
It feels like both sides dug in on things that didn't necessarily need to be dug in on.
Yeah.
And furthermore, everything you read about Roquan Smith is that he's just sort of like this model citizen, nice kid.
That's
like,
right. He's never been suspended.
It doesn't seem like it would be a major concern that he's going to like take someone's head off and the Bears are going to have to recoup the money.
You know,
so I don't know. It seemed like just such silliness. The funny thing about this is we all know that the reality of the story is that if he turns out to be good in week one, this story was just like 3 weeks of filler.
Nothing.
Read it and I would just end up like doing this. Brain was just, it was difficult to read the story.
Yeah.
Difficult to stand there and listen to this too.
I know.
Yeah, but getting back to
it's over.
Getting back to what Jordan said, I could not agree with you more. It's not like they were trying to sign like a kid like Vontaze Burfict, for instance, out of college, where there are some concerns there about what he might do on the field. This is a guy, by all accounts, plays the game right, smart kid, and it just seems like they got into an argument over something that, I mean, it just seemed like they wasted some time with this.
Yeah. I'm done. Let's bring up this question. Is there more pressure on Roquan Smith because of his holdout? I just kind of feel like it's over now, and by the time the game starts week one, we're going to forget about this, right?
Absolutely. There's some pressure, though, Chuck, because now he's got to go produce. Everybody in that building seems to believe that this kid is the real deal. He's in camp. It was like a cloud had been lifted because you're pumping out all this positivity in Bourbonnais, and yet Roquan's still not there. So if he comes out and he produces, it's like Jordan said, it's all gone. But if he doesn't,
I'm blaming the agent.
Absolutely.
That's what I'm doing. I'm not blaming
Roquan. And Mr. Pace. Mr. Pace is going to really, really take some heat for this one after all
this
stuff.
Mr. Friedel, do you think the pressure Do you think the pressure is on Roquan because of the holdout or just because of where he was drafted?
Yeah.
Because to me, it's less about the holdout. It's more about the fact that this is a team that's been bad. They drafted a player in the top 10 to get good. And if he's not good, that's the bigger problem. I mean, to me, like, the holdout is a blip.
Yeah,
I don't even think that that matters. I don't think that that adds extra pressure. It's more, in my opinion, it's just, you know, is this guy good? Because Ryan Pace has to prove that his first-round picks are good. And so far, it's been kind of shaky at the first.
It's been very shaky. Yeah. The pressure on him, like you said, comes from the other factors. Number 8 in the draft, you know, going to a franchise like this, playing a position that, is in the history of this franchise, is, you know, played some really great football players. The holdout, I mean, this is gone now as far as I'm concerned. But the other stuff is where the pressure comes from. Yeah.
In your decades of covering the Bears, do you think he'll be ready for week one?
By all accounts, Chuck, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I would think if you believe that this kid is as good as they all think he is, and you think that he can get up to speed in the next few weeks, absolutely, throw him out there. He's your guy. This is like with Trubisky and Glennon last season. Everybody knew Trubisky was the guy. Glennon keeps saying, this is my year. Dude, you're horrible. Get out of here.
Where's Glennon? I don't even know.
In Arizona.
Oh, he's in Arizona.
The other day. So, you know, let him play. Let him go through the mistakes. But to what Jay's saying, a lot of this with Roquan, pressure maybe on the holdout. A lot of this pressure is on Mr. Pace. Because if Mr. Pace messed up yet another first-round pick and then had this whole protracted holdout with another first-round pick, when you have to get these guys to produce, at what point do we turn around and say, Mr. Pace just ain't got it?
Is Ryan changing his first name to Mr.?
He should. He should.
He apparently didn't like him calling Mr. because he's only 41. But the thing, I don't think there's any question he'll be ready for week one, assuming everything goes well. What this does is eliminate the margin of error. So if he gets if he comes up with a little hamstring injury that takes him out for a couple days, you know, whereas if he was there the whole time, they probably could still get him ready for week one. You know, now the margin of error is a lot smaller. But I think as long as everything goes the way they think it's going, he's going to be out there starting on week one.
Are you a White Sox authentic fan? We want to hear from you. Every authentic fan night, we designate one winner as the fan of the game, which includes tickets to the game, meet and greets, plus an authentic game day experience. Enter for your chance to win at NBCSportsChicago.com/WhiteSoxAF.
All right, Sox fans, Eloy Jimenez homered again last night, his 11th in 35 games with the Charlotte Knights. Yeah, he's doing that. Three-run homer. So you all want to know, what should the White Sox do? Now, if you would have asked me 2 months ago, I would have said, bring him up when he's, skip AAA. Bring him up. He's the bat plays in the major leagues. But talked about this on the White Sox Talk podcast, which is now out. I did a little bit of studying, you could say. And I have come to the realization or the belief that they're going to play this Eloy thing like the Cubs did with Chris Bryant. It just feels like the same thing. And actually, when Chris Bryant in 2014, he was minor league player of the year.
Yes.
43 home runs. They didn't bring him up that year.
But Chuck, you're a Sox guy. Don't you feel like that's what they should do? I mean, if
they should do what?
That they should keep him in the minors until
next
year.
They should, because it's seven years versus six. He's going to come up here. Yeah, instant gratification, Sox fans. You get to watch Eloy Jimenez for 6 weeks on a team that's not good. In 2025, when he's 28 years old, he'll play the whole season. You want that versus him getting 6 years or 6 weeks right now. You got to think long term. Don't think, I want to see Eloy right now. That's the decision. I think that's what the White Sox will end up doing. That's my theory, because he's not up here yet. He would already be here if they felt otherwise.
I agree with you. I think that's the right thing to do. The one counter argument I would make is that if you are, you know, if you're the White Sox and you think this guy is a centerpiece of your franchise, you do want to start building a relationship with him in terms of trust. So, you know, if he goes on and becomes who you guys think he's going to be, that he doesn't harbor any ill will towards you guys for how you've handled certain things. That's the only argument you can make, you know.
But wouldn't you say, that doesn't matter because the Cubs did the same thing with Bryant, and I don't think that there's any...
No one even talks about 2014 anymore.
Nobody does, and you may not know it, but, I mean, you know, the Cubs will have to sit down with Bryant at some point in the future and try to get him to sign his name to whatever, $280, $300 million. And you know what? Bryant would, I don't think you'd ever hear from Bryant or Boris that it bothered him that much about what happened, but it did bother him. And, you know, when you're coming down and you're looking at $300 million from him, $300 million from that, some of those little stuff can matter, I think.
I don't know. I feel like that's, I mean, respectfully, I feel like that's going to have nothing to do with it. I honestly think that, especially for the White Sox, because it's one thing for the Cubs, a team that is, that has a history now of spending big money on contracts. If Eloy Jimenez becomes a great player, which obviously it looks like he may at some point with what he's doing in the minor leagues, if he's great at age 28 and he's going to be a guy that's going to command 300 and whatever million, I mean, at that point, we don't even know what kind of money player's going to get. The White Sox don't have the history of signing players to that kind of deal. And if anything, they have the history of signing guys to incredibly good deals that are way below market value, but I feel like this is a player who would not get that. So well, that's why it's even more important that you have him for another year under your
control. The White Sox do have a history of locking up guys earlier in their careers. Sale, Eaton, yeah. Nate Jones, Quintana. But you're just assuming. You're assuming that Eloy Jimenez will do some kind of team-friendly deal in 3 years. You can't really necessarily assume that. And then one other stat that I found that I thought was interesting was Chris Bryant had 297 plate appearances in AAA in 2014. 297. Eloy has 145 in AAA.
Yeah, I think
half.
The argument I'm making is the only – you're searching for an argument. I mean, literally, what the White Sox are doing, it makes perfect sense. It's what anybody – and I will say this. This is a larger point. I think with him and Vladimir Guerrero Jr., who's also in the minors –
Who's 19.
But, you know, baseball has a problem in the sense that, you know – they're having trouble attracting young fans. And this is a reason why that we don't talk about it. These kids stay in the minors. There are kids that are really buzzing about these kids. They don't get to see them in the majors. Right. It'll be interesting to see, like, when baseball does its labor deal again. You know, I think baseball, there is a movement, there is some notion within baseball to adjust these years to pay these guys at their top level instead of overpaying for 30-plus, you know?
Chris Bryant, back in 2014, Scott Boras was screaming for this, and he was hoping that they would make some kind of change out of the Chris Bryant situation. It never happened. I don't think this is going to change things either, but at some point they got to make a decision.
What changes it, though, is there are a bunch of owners. I think there are owners that are looking at this going, why am I overpaying for these guys later in their career? Why don't I just pay these guys when they actually might be worth the money? Yeah. It has nothing to do with the players. It has nothing to do with any altruistic
the sense
system. Of the owners. Mm-hmm. It's more the owners saying, I don't want to pay too much to these guys in the end. Why don't I just pay them what they're worth
now? But again, the flip side of that is that what the NFL had the problem with, the rookie contracts that were so bloated for players that had done nothing. And then if they don't do what you think they're going to do, I mean, listen, right now sitting here, it's easy for all of us to say that Eloy Jimenez is going to be great. But what if he's not great? And the rules were different, and the White Sox had to lock him in right now to $150 million. Would you be happy about that if you didn't know?
That's the NBA.
Right. So then then you're playing a player all this money who may not be good. So, I mean, there's
both sides of the coin. There's an argument. Yeah. And then there's Michael Kopech. I feel he has a better chance of coming up this year because he's been in AAA all year. Yeah. The White Sox, you know, Rick Hahn has said, I think he said something about how, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I think he kind of compared the Jimenez situation to maybe Moncada. They weren't thinking with Moncada last year. Well, he had already been up with the Red Sox, but actually Giolito and Lopez had already been up too. But I just feel like the difference with Kopech is he's a year older than Jimenez. He's been in AAA all year. He's a pitcher. That's, you know, who knows what a pitcher is going to be able to do in 7 years. I think you could see Kopech coming up here. Jimenez, that just seems like that might not happen this year.
Watching those Jimenez highlights, though, it just makes that Quintana trade hurt so much worse as a Cubs fan. The Torres thing, I understand with Chapman. If Chapman doesn't come over from the Yankees, they probably don't win the World Series a couple years ago. That Eloy deal has a chance to just be torturous for Cubs fans for years and years
to come.
Hold on. Can you put him back on? He's on camera. Say it one more time. I don't want anything to disrupt what you said in the beginning and the end of it, so I can play that from here to eternity for White Sox fans.
This deal is going to really, really, really hurt Cubs fans. And the worst part, Chuck, is they know it already. You watch those highlights, and you never know if a guy can stay healthy and he can do it for years and years, but he has all the makings of what looks to be a superstar.
You think that's bad? Maybe we should Maybe they could put up some.
In a herd.
Maybe they could queue up some Dylan Cease highlights to go out.
I didn't even want to mention his name. But hey, but if you're a Cubs fan, guess what? They found a way to win in 2016.
Yeah.
And as bad as that deal may be, Theo and company still found a way to win in 2016. So at least that happened, and you can hold on to that. But that Jimenez deal, I watch those highlights and I just get sick to my stomach because it would have been awesome to watch him at Wrigley for years to come.
Do you want to see some Dylan Cease right now?
No.
We have some Dylan Cease.
No, I don't want to see any Dylan Cease. I don't want to. I don't want to talk about Buicks or any kind of cars. I just want to get away from the whole thing.
Well, the good thing about the camera, the camera in Birmingham is so bad that it's like an ant on the mound there. There he is. Then they go to this shot. Like, why even have a camera? Like, what's even going on? Is there a ball? I can't even see it. Anyway, for Sox fans, they need some moral victories. You gave Nick Friedel, you gave them a moral victory with your angst about that trade. So. Anyway, let's get to Ben Zobrist. Big fan of Ben Zobrist after today. He didn't get to see the end of the game from the dugout. He was ejected by home plate umpire Phil Cuzzi for arguing balls and strikes. Okay, sixth inning. Zobrist wasn't happy with the pitch. Thought it was a ball. All right, he argued. Joe Maddon came out to his aid. He got tossed. And then after the eighth inning, Zobrist decided to come out and he had a little conversation with Cuzzi. You know, a very... you know, casual conversation that eventually led to his ejection. So this is the conversation. All right. This is where it gets good. After the game, Zobrist disclosed the secret words that got him run.
For the day, having a conversation.
You know, when you have good quality at bats as a hitter and you feel like it's kind of taken away from you, you know, you want some sort of answer, you know, or you want some sort of at least, you know, you want to be assured that they're going to go back and make an adjustment. And that's what I asked for, you know. And, you know, it was met with, you know, he didn't really, he basically, you know, he didn't want to talk about that. You know, he didn't want me to tell him that. And, you know, I just basically said, well, that's why, you know, we want an electronic strike zone. You know, and that's what obviously got me tossed.
I just love that everybody's standing there. There's a pause with all like, whoa, did he just say that?
And they're going to the phone.
Zobrist knew too.
He
set it up perfectly. A little bit of a pause. And that's what I told him. I wanted an electronic strike zone. Bam.
And like the fact that it came from that guy.
Yeah.
Like Ben Zobrist is like the last. If you had to make a list of players in Major League Baseball that you would think would say that to an umpire, he has got to be at the bottom of that list, right?
If there ever was a moment I wanted mic'd up. Could you imagine if that was mic'd up? Because we see what he's, you can't really see what he says, then you see Cuzzi throw him out of the game. But if we had that mic'd up and you could see that with that, woo! I would replay that over and over again.
I told you guys this story of the break. I was just, my favorite, well, I can't see Phil Cuzzi's name without thinking of one of my favorite Ozzie Guillen stories. When he got tossed out of a game at Yankee Stadium, we asked him the next day, well, what did you say to him, tossed by Cuzzi? He said, I went out and I told him, it's not your fault. It's the person who hired you fault. And so we all had the same reaction as this, they did around Zobrist, like everybody just rolling around laughing.
Will he get fined or suspended for that? What do you think?
No.
Because he already said it.
Yeah.
And he said it to the media.
I mean, I think you tend to get fined more if you use expletives or something like that. If he mixed in some expletives, he might be... might be looking at a little
bit. He's going to get a lot of texts around Major League Baseball from his friends.
It's only a matter of time, though. I mean, let's be real.
You think?
It's only a matter of time before that becomes a part of the game because there's too much momentum from people beyond Zobrist who are saying the technology is almost in place.
But you should be right, Nick, and I think that your point is good. But the problem baseball has, Jay was talking about this before in terms of marketing to the young players, there's so much old man thinking in baseball that getting these changes to happen is, it just takes so long. I mean, it's like, yes, this seems like something that should be done and makes all the sense in the world, and that's why it won't happen.
Yeah, I think it's fun. I mean, I think it's fun to ask Zobrist, it's fun to hear Zobrist say that, blah, blah, blah. But I think if you survey most people around the league, they would tell you they'd stick with the human umps. Right. I really think so. If you asked the players and the managers and the coaching staff, I think a majority of them would
because
say.
Because I don't know about you, but I go to baseball games to watch Joe West. Yeah. So I don't want anything happen to him.
Well, mercy.
I do think the players, like in calls in certain situations, would rather go out and interact with the human being, not try to talk to a, you know, like strike a computer, you know?